Genesis chapter 37.
A couple things been going around in my heart, and today as Brother Bob was preaching, the Lord just really drove this one home. And Genesis 37 verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. Brother Tim McVeigh, would you pray for us, brother, please?
Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you touch Brother Taylor. Lord, you give him the physical faculties and necessities to preach. Lord, I pray more than anything else, Lord, that you give him the mental capacity to understand the wisdom that only comes from above. I pray, Lord, that through faith, when you preach, that we through faith receive the word of God. And believe in you and take in you at your word. I pray to give him the wisdom to say the things that need said. I pray to give him unction, have understanding, and pierce our hearts through. Lord, I ask more than anything else, you would do the work that's needed in our lives and our hearts. And be receivers and be doers of the word of God. Have your way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Thank you. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Serve God and watch him fulfill your dreams.
Amen.
Serve God and watch him fulfill your dreams. A young man here had a dream. It wasn't because he ate too much pepperoni pizza with anchovies on it either.
Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you something now, young people. Do you have a dream?
Yes, sir.
Do you have something out there you're aiming for? Is there something, is there a goal in your life that you're looking for? Is there something there you've got to, amen, to labor for? Amen. Something that keeps you going?
Yeah.
Is there a dream in your heart? I'll tell you, the world's full of dreams, isn't it? They got all kinds of, man, the world. Hey, they got the American dream, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I had the American dream, and I was lost. I was miserable. My family fell apart. Amen. The Air Force wanted to boot me out. Amen. If it wasn't but for the grace of God, I never got out with an honorable discharge. But I got saved and spent 5 more years in the Air Force. Over the American dream. I had it. I mean, beautiful home, new car in the driveway. But there was no peace, amen? No peace. They got a, here's the other one. Hey, you got to make lots of money. How many of you young boys are thinking about that one? Listen, I meet young men in Bible-believing Baptist churches, and their dream in life, I got to get me a job where I can make $100,000 a year. I said, good luck with that. And listen, there's young boys coming out of college today, Brother Dale, that are making that. They don't even know how to handle that. They're making that. And it's ruined them. And then they got all kinds of other dreams. You know, they got, and some dreams are okay. And ain't nothing wrong with making money, but the problem is when you make money like that, it's your God, it's not your dream, it's your God. And most of us in this room could not handle $100,000 a year. That's why we never made it.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
Some folks got a dream. They're going to get married, settle down, have kids, have a family. That's a good dream. Nothing wrong with that. I was one of 6 kids. I made it halfway. I got 3. Amen. 3 boys and 3 girls. I got the 3 girls. Now I got three great son-in-laws. You know, nowadays, though, even that's not a dream anymore, Brother Joe. Nowadays, they teach the girls, you know, that men are evil and amen. It's all, amen. It's all messed up. They got some crazy ideas and some crazy dreams, some crazy plans and schemes today. But here's Joseph, amen. And Joseph had a dream. You know what that dream was? Just being used of God for his purpose. I wonder tonight if you'd have that dream, young person. No other desire in life than to be used of God for his purpose. Well, I hadn't thought about that one, you might say. Here's Joseph, amen, a young man, still at home. Listen, when he had that dream, he started telling folks about it, didn't he? You ever told anybody about your dream? Joseph started telling folks about his dream, told his brethren. Boy, I'll tell you, they were real keen on that, weren't they? Man, they mocked him. They despised him. Man, hey, that dream ain't coming true, son. Not as long as I'm your brother, and I'm your older brother. That ain't happening, you know. And they envied him. But wait a minute. What did it say about his father? He observed it. You know what I know about Mary? There's several times in there about Mary when they're talking about the Lord and Mary. She observed these. She kept these things in her heart. Good thing to do, amen. You get some vision out there. You get some dream out there for what God might have you do. Cling to it, amen.
Yes,
amen. Keep it in your heart. Why? Because there's going to be plenty of opportunity for the world to come along and try to steal that away from you. They'll try to replace it with something else. There's a great deception today that many folks hear and they don't even consider any idea of being used of God for his purpose. I'm talking about in the Bible-believing Baptist church. I ain't talking to the Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, amen. I'm talking to Baptists. And in a Bible-believing Baptist church, man, as young people, you got no earthly desire, amen, to ever just be used of God somewhere out there. All I remember, Brother Joe, when I got saved was I wanted to serve God.
Amen.
I wanted to do something for God, man. God had gone to, amen, he sent his son all the way to Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ had died for me, man. He shed his blood for me. All I ever wanted to do was please him and do something for him. I didn't care what it was. Listen, when I first got saved, we had a big old church there and they had a choir loft. Big old choir loft. It hold about 100 people. And they had them swinging doors going into the choir loft. And them hinges always come loose. My pastor found out I was a carpenter. He said, son, them hinges need fixed. I said, yes, sir, right away, man. And you'd find me on any given day somewhere. And I wasn't getting paid to do it, amen.
Right.
You'd find me on any given day and they're fixing a hinge on a door.
Yeah.
I'd be in there fixing a hinge on a door. He said, son, we got a window that's rattling out here. It's about painting about to fall out. I said, yes, sir, I'll get right on that. Next thing you know, I'm out working on a window. And I still held a job with the United States Air Force. And then he found out I could do a little bit of mechanical work. He said, hey, man, we got some buses that really need help. And we don't have anybody to fix them. Can you help us? So I went from doing the carpet work to crawling under buses and crawling over buses and crawling through buses and working on buses. Hey, listen. Brother David, if my pastor would have told me I need a flagpole painted.
Sure.
But here's the catch. You got to carry your Bible in one hand and a bucket of paint in the other. But I want it painted. I'd have figured out a way somehow to do it because I figured my pastor had the answer. If it needed done and it needed to be done that way, then I'd find a way to do it that way.
Yes.
After 35 years, I can truly say if it wasn't for the will of God in my life, I would have never realized any of my dreams. I had some dreams even when I got saved. I've got one dream the Lord has never let be fulfilled in my life. One dream and one only. You heard that song, all my change my dreams and my plans?
Yeah.
Amen. For I'm placing my whole life in your hands. He did. He changed all of them. But he left a few of them there and gave them to me anyway.
Yeah.
He didn't just take everything away.
But he gave me some new ones to go along with some of those. Some of those I just kind of, when I got saved, I gave him all my dreams. I've got a dream. I tried to remember your last name. Brother D, amen. I got a dream.
I have a dream.
No. That dream was to build a house. I've built $1 million homes back when $1 million was something for people. Never built my own house. I got to New Guinea, and man, my mission board director said, "Hey, man, you're going to get to build that house, Red." And I said, "Okay, well, hey, that house still doesn't stand. I can build that house without a blueprint. You need a house built without a blueprint. If you can describe it to me, I can draw it in my mind and build it for you. Not a problem." God's never allowed that to come to pass. My house sits about 5 miles down the road. It's 8.5 foot wide. It's 37 foot long. It's got 6 tires under it, and it's expensive when it breaks. And I'm as happy as a pig in the mud. If that's all I ever get down here, wait just a minute. Hey. Oh, preacher, but you ain't ever going to get nothing from God. Wait a minute. Wait till I'm done. I got a house in heaven.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Make the White House look like a city.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about your dreams. What are they tonight? Joseph's got this dream, amen. And in particular in this dream, amen, I want to show you tonight how God fulfilled the dream because Joseph served God.
Amen.
Keep coming. There in verse 11, his brethren envied him. In verse 19, let's look there. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." I told you, man, they're out to get your dreams if you got any.
Yeah.
Hey, just because they're out to get them don't mean you shouldn't have them, amen.
Right.
Go ahead and dream. Go ahead and get an idea out there somewhere. You want to do something for God out there.
Amen.
Man, here they are. What are they going to do? They throw him in a pit. Isn't that great? What do you do in the pit? You read it anywhere where Joseph, "Oh, God, what are you doing to me, man? I got this dream, man. I'm going to deliver my brethren, and now they throw me in a pit. How am I going to deliver my brethren from a pit?" Have you ever been there? Ouch. I don't read where Joseph did that.
No.
Right. Caleb, I read where he just got serving God in a pit. I see, man, he gets out of the pit.
Amen.
Amen. He gets out of the pit and he gets sold into slavery. Amen. He gets sold into slavery. They take him down the road and they take him into Potiphar's place. Man, now he went from the pit, man, he's in the palace. Boy, I'll tell you what happened. You better look out. You get a dream for God. You get an idea in your heart. There's some things you want to do for God. Amen. You better look out. Because if the world can't get you with a pit, they'll sure enough get you with a palace.
Oh, yeah.
I've been offered several times to make enough money that, amen, I'd never have to worry again.
Right.
And I turned it down every time. I had a man tell me, "But then you are a fool." I said, "No, you are the fool. Because you can't take away what I've got."
Amen.
"But they can sure take away that money you're offering me." So he winds up in the palace. Chapter 39. Man, he's brought down to Egypt. Verse 5, he's in the palace. And again, what's he doing in the palace? You can tell by the guy's attitude. As you read the story, Joseph isn't in the palace going, "So much. I'm going to tell you what, if I ever get my hand, oh, if I ever get a hold of Benjamin, if I ever get a hold of Reuben, you just wait till I get..." Whoa! No. You can tell by reading it, I ain't what he's doing.
Right.
He is in there serving God in Potiphar's palace. I mean, he's doing such a great job of it. You think if he's running around mumbling, he'd have got promoted like he did? And there he is, man. Taken in the palace. Then what happens? Potiphar's wife, the wicked witch of the West. Hey, listen. If the palace don't get you, look out for the prince's wife. Joseph never really lost sight of that. We'll see that in just a little bit. What happens then? He runs to protect his purity. I believe we heard a message on that. What's the Bible say? Flee fornication! What's that mean? Run! And what did it get him? Put in the prison. Man, he winds up down in the prison. And what's he doing in the prison? Check this guy out, man. You can't find a chink in his armor anywhere. He's not down there going, I'm going to fire and get my hands on Potiphar's wife again. I'm going to tell her what I tell you. No. No. Man, he gets promoted in the prison.
Yeah.
He gets put over the prison as a prisoner. Yeah. Brother Dale, you was in a few jails. Hey, man, how many times they put you over the prison? I've been in and out of them preaching, amen. I spent one night in one, that's enough for me. Amen. And what happens? He keeps his eyes on God. And in the back of his mind somewhere, he's remembering, God's going to use me. You know what he didn't even think of all the way along the way? God's using me. How else did he get where he was in Potiphar's house? How else did he get where he was in the prison? God's using him. God is putting him in places where God can use him. What happens, man? Two guys have a dream. And what's God do? Takes him right to Joseph. And Joseph interprets the dream. You remember the story, amen. I'm not going to take time to read it all. And then what happens? Hey, man. Hey, when you get out, remember me down here, you know. That's the one time I see Joseph getting a little anxious. Getting out of the place, amen. What happens? They forget, right? God didn't forget. God gave Pharaoh a dream. Amen. And now it's time to get Joseph out of that prison. Man, he shaves up, he washes up, he stands before Pharaoh. Pharaoh gives him a dream. He interprets that thing. What happens? Pharaoh says, man, this guy's got some sense about him. This guy's got some brains. This guy's got God on him. Just keep serving God and let him see God. Let him know that God is real. You ain't, amen. We don't do what we do, amen, to be seen of men. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll do it for God, they'll see him. And they'll be drawn to him. So there he is, man, now. Amen. He gets put out now. Man, this thing's starting to move up. And you get over there to Genesis 42. And there in verse 7, man, that dream starts coming into focus. That thing that was way out there that Joseph may have at times wondered, is that ever going to happen? God, I know you gave that to me. Is it ever going to come to pass? Down the road come some fellas. The closer they get, the more familiar they look. Until they're standing before him and it's his brethren. Genesis 42 verse 7. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. Here come. See, Joseph was just kind of twisting the knife. No, he wasn't. Joseph was proving them. Joseph, amen, was being used of God to put them in the place where they believed God just like he had. What happens? You know the story, man. They go back and forth. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 45. Look at verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. You know what he does now? He makes the realization of that dream come alive before his brethren. I mean, can you imagine being one of those brethren? One of those brethren, come on, let's just take him. Let's take him down. We're going to put him in bed. We'll see what his dream can do. Can you imagine now you're one of them guys standing there in that group? And he says, "Fellas," and now he's not speaking Egyptian, he's back in Hebrew, and he says, "I'm Joseph." I mean, can you see him go? Go. Amen. But Joseph wasn't in this for himself. Listen, he had all the power of Egypt at his hand right there. He could have fried him. Sure. But he didn't. Why? Because God gave him a dream. God gave him a goal to aim for. God gave him something to keep in his heart so that he knew somewhere down the road, God's going to do something for you, with you, through you, and in you. Amen. Friend of mine named Dennis Wells. Anybody else know him? Dennis Wells was a Baptist deacon for 25 years. Sat in a Baptist church. And 25 years, 25 mission conferences went by. And he had in his heart a dream. He had in his heart a goal. He had in his heart a vision to be a missionary. Every year at mission conference, he'd come forward, he'd cry, he'd weep, "Oh God, this year is in China. This year is wherever. Surrender to go anywhere." And after 25 years, on the 26th mission conference, a man named Ted Mullins, missionary in Papua New Guinea, came by. And that service, God said, "Papua New Guinea." And Brother Dennis faithfully served in Papua New Guinea until about 2 years ago. His health started getting bad. His eyes getting bad. His age is up. He's 70-some years old. Can't walk the mountains anymore. Can't walk the trails anymore. And they're too narrow to drive a Jeep on. Now he's serving in his home church until he finishes out, and he's the missions director in his church. Over 25 years served in the country. He was 50 years old when he went to the mission field. For 25 years he sat in church with a vision, with a dream. And one day God said, "Now." You know what's in Papua New Guinea? Because he went. He served God all those years faithfully. And then he served God toward the dream. What happened? There's churches all over in one corner of the Weedy tribe. I don't know how many. There's probably somewhere around 20 that he planted, trained the men that are pastoring. And now his boy, his second born son, is in New Guinea. And I'll say more about him in a little bit. Because he fulfilled another man's dream. I should say God used him to fulfill another man's dream. What I'm trying to tell you is serve God and watch God fulfill that dream.
Yes, sir.
Watch God do what he said he would do.
Yes, he would.
Amen. Have you ever just first given yourself to him so he could? You give yourself to God and you watch what he does. He'll put that dream in your heart. And then he'll fulfill that dream in you just because you serve God. Listen, all along the way, Joseph served God. Not once did he go back. Not once did he say, "Oh, I wish I was back in Canaan land." Not once did he say, "Where is my father?" Not once did he say, "Those dirty, rotten brethren of mine." Not once did he get an amen all beside himself and get upset at God. Not once. He just kept serving God in all the trouble, in all the trials, in the pit, in the prison, in the palace, in front of Potiphar's wife. Hey, he just kept serving God and living a pure, holy, godly life that pleased God until the day God said, "There's your brethren, Joseph. Remember that dream?" And what happened? You know the rest of the story. In Genesis 46, the dream comes true. And it comes true, young people, in family. They weren't all on the mountaintop shouting the victory, saying, "Woohoo!
Hey, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness."
That's way out of tune. You should have heard old guy in our church singing out of tune.
Man, God blew all over that place.
They weren't up there on the mountaintop. Hey, the children of God were in famine when God fulfilled the dream.
In fact, Brother Dale,
God used the famine to fulfill the dream.
Yes, sir. Good stuff.
We get those dry times, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I just don't know where it's going to come from. Same place it always has.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Yeah. Man, I just don't have the money. I don't know where.
God ain't broke.
That's right.
Never has been. You know there's two words God don't have in his vocabulary up there in heaven? Recession. Never been in recession in heaven. The other one's depression. Never been in depression in heaven. Man, the economy tanks and the first thing people do is start worrying. Amen. And God says, "I got all you need right here." Serving God through all the bad times.
Yes, sir.
Serving God in the midst, amen, of the drought. In the midst of the famine when the corn dried up. Serving God anyhow because He's worthy.
Amen.
And what happens? The dream comes true.
The dream comes true. Man, can you imagine? Joseph's standing there looking out the window. And down the road yonder comes a wagon train.
And he recognizes that wagon, it's the one he sent out.
And he knows that on that wagon is his daddy, whom he hasn't seen in years. And he remembers, daddy kept those things in his heart. Daddy pondered while his brethren tried to twist things up and, amen, envy and strife. And we've already heard messages on that this week. You know who wasn't scared when they got in front of Joseph? Daddy. Why? Because Daddy realized what had happened.
Yeah.
But you know, you remember the rest of the story? Like Paul Harvey said the rest of the story? You remember the rest of it?
Somebody was shaking in their boots when Daddy died.
Yeah.
Now listen now, listen now. Hey, Joey, what is bad? You think, man, hey, listen, we really need to be there now. Whoa. What do you tell them? You meant for evil, but God meant for good.
Amen.
To deliver a people.
Yes.
Listen, you know what God's going to give you if you'll serve Him? He'll give you a dream to deliver a people. Won't
yes,
He, Tommy?
Yes, sir. Right.
He'll give you a dream to deliver a people.
Amen.
Amen. That got no hope.
Amen.
He'll give you a dream, amen, to deliver a people, amen, that the world has given up on.
Yes, sir. Amen, sir.
Cast them aside, throw them in the corner, feed them with slop.
Yes, sir.
He'll give you a dream,
yes, sir,
to deliver those people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And if you'll just serve Him through everything that goes on in your life,
good, brother.
He'll bring that dream to pass.
Amen.
I got saved March 8th, 1981. 10 o'clock Saturday night, 249 Squire Avenue, Goldsboro, North Carolina. Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. That night I said, "Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I'll say whatever you want me to say, but please save me." And brother, from that night, I looked for one direction, the mission field. When I said I'll go wherever, I meant it. And I just always figured that's what it's going to be, and that's where it started. God took me to New Guinea. And man, in just a few short years, God built a work. We trained 52 men in 3 years. Six churches were started. And by the way, all 52 of those men are still serving God somewhere.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They've gone off and planted their own churches, Brother Timmy Faye, without American money.
Amen.
I believe that's what missions is about, Brother Paul. And they've gone off and done the work. I was there, back, my wife and I, back in 12, and they've gone farther than I ever dreamed. But there's one dream I had. And Brother Joe, when God brought me back out of the beginning, it broke my heart.
Amen.
How do you unsurrender something you've given your life to?
Yes, sir.
That you've died for yourself, amen, to?
Yes, sir.
And God says, you're done. I stood in the middle of a piece of ground that was only the hand of God that was given to us. I asked the missionary that was over there, I said, brother, what's in Panga? He said, oh, brother, don't worry about it, just get there. God will show you where he wants you. I said, I know all that, but I've been praying for Panga. I take a map, I take the globe, and I begin to pray for countries. And every once in a while, God will lay a city on my heart, and I'll pray for that city. I've even prayed for little towns. And Brother Dale, you know what God has done? He's either let me train the man that's there, or he's let me pray and meet the man that he sent there.
Amen.
So I'm sitting there and I'm looking out over this thing. Long story short, God gave us the money in one day. He said, the missionary called me back. He said, listen, man, I just found out something. We can get a government lease for 99 years. Costs us $99 a year, and then it completely deeded over free to the church. Never to be taken away again. He said, we can get that in Panga. He said, it's going to cost $1,200 for the survey. He said, you pray about it. That's where God wants you. Then, praise God, he'll give you the money and we'll do it. That was Saturday morning. I got the letter. Actually, it was a letter. I drove all the way from over here in Elder, Pennsylvania. No, it's down South Pennsylvania. Drove all the way to Connecticut. I got to Connecticut that night, met the pastor. We had a meeting. We were meeting in a gymnasium. We had a meeting that day, man. I preached three different times on missions. And I mean, God blew through that place. God called a man named John Sarah to the mission field. John's been on the mission field now for 30 years. And man, I didn't say nothing. You know me, I don't run around blowing my horns. I need $2,586.18. They took up an offering that night. A group of people meeting in a gymnasium. So it wasn't a great big church. They took up an offering that night. Anybody want to guess how much it was? $1,200. I started crying. The pastor said, what's wrong? I said, nothing's wrong. This is exactly what I need.
Amen.
He said, what do you mean? And I told him, hey, people, wait a minute. Hold it. He got up front. Hold it. Stop what you're doing. They were picking the place up, getting ready to put it back to a gymnasium. He said, Brother Taylor wants to tell you something. Tell him what you just told me. So I told him the story. Man, that place went nuts for about 30 minutes.
Amen.
So there now, God gives that money. I sent it over there. We got that thing, that ground secured. And through a long process of time that I won't go into, we finally got the paperwork straightened out. But Brother John and I stood in the middle of that property. And I looked all around me. And I prayed, I'm in the jungle now. I'm not in downtown, you know, Buffalo. That's a jungle of a different kind, amen. I'm not in downtown Port Moresby, Caleb. I'm in the jungle. And I stood around there and I prayed. And we had already trained some men. Some men were going out. We were sending men out from there, out to their own tribe. And I realized that eventually you got to go beyond your own tribe. If mission is going to work, you got to get out of your own tribe. Amen. You got to get out to another people that has not heard. And as I looked around, I prayed. I said, God, would there be a way? God, would there be a way that you would help us to win, or at least to reach the rest of Papua New Guinea?
Amen.
From right here. Miss Tanya, I got brought home. Boy, that was still my dream. Brother Caleb, listen, you know me, I'd be there today if it was up to Cliff Taylor.
Yes, sir.
My wife shaking her head, yes, she'd be right there beside you. But it's not up to us.
Yes, sir.
Our life is hid with God in Christ.
Amen.
And with Christ too, as our life shall appear. Amen. So I come off the field and God begins to open doors and he's taking me all over the world.
Why? Because one day, Brother Bob, I sat and looked at a globe and I started praying for other places.
And I got a dream, man. I got a vision of reaching other places.
We now have churches on several continents, some of the islands of the sea. And the men that are there are men we train.
Amen.
But still, Papa New Guinea's never left my heart. Well, about 10 years ago, a young boy named Chad Wells, you remember Dennis? I taught Chad how to build houses by building his father's house. Chad came off the field as a teenage boy. He got to be 18. He came home. He went to Bible school. While he was in Bible school, he started his own business, framing houses. Put himself through Bible school. And while he was in Bible school, God promoted him out of that. He got a job in a big corporation. They wound up sending him to college. He got promoted up through that corporation. God sent him to things in college he never dreamed he'd ever take. And he's used every bit of it now on the mission field. God took him back to New Guinea. He thought, I'm going back to the place I was at where I grew up. God said, up, you're going back to a place called Pangaea. He knew where it was. He'd been there. He'd helped me many times. That's where I started. That's that piece of property. Remember when I stood? Remember when I told you I prayed? And I begged God, there'd be some way, God, we could reach the rest of Papua New Guinea from here. Well, God took Chad Wells and another man, and they took the Pidgin Bible. The word in Pidgin is cranky. You know what I just said, right? Cranky. Now, you ain't got that far yet? It means it's a mess. It's all messed up. The Pidgin Bible they had was cranky. It was no good. It was today's English version with about a third of whatever bones was left that he cut out. And it's in Pidgin. Now listen, we taught them how to use that because that's all they had. And taught them to wait until God brought them a better one. So God put it on two men's heart. Those two men got together and they began to work and they began to pray and they began to labor for about 8 years. The one man labored for about 10 years and prayed. And now in the Pidgin language, I have a picture of it on my phone. Ask me, I'll show you later. Is the first ever King James equivalent Pidgin Bible that came off the presses. Guess where the presses are? In Pangaea, Papua New Guinea. They're being shipped all over the nation now. They're printing it there. Now I want to tell you something. Say, preacher, you said about all this stuff, the struggles with the dream. Listen, we went through so many things. There's no complaining here. We went through so many very different things, amen, trials, that it'd take me days to tell you about them. It took me 3 years just to go through them. My mission board director wrote me a letter. He said, Red, I'm sorry to hear you're having such a hard time over there. I wrote him back. I said, Brother Homer, what's a hard time? I did not come over here to sit on a park bench and eat bonbons. I came over here to serve God, bring people to Jesus Christ, train men to preach the gospel, and plant churches, and that's what's happening. Amen. Man, I'm having the time of my life. Don't cry for me.
Amen.
My daughter, my middle daughter would have nightmares almost nightly. Yet, she'd wake up in the morning and she was just overjoyed to be in Papua New Guinea. But every night, just about nightmares. And we did not know. We couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, Chad's over there. He'd been there on my station. And God, God expanded that station now from 4.2 acres we had. It's about 20 acres now. And there's houses all over it. And God gave it to them free. But here they are. They're preparing the ground. And over there, they don't have DHs. The DH is eight guys on a shovel. And they're out there with their flat shovels and they're scraping the ground, trying to level it out. And they kept getting up these little posts. They were burned off at ground level. These little posts are about that long. The pigeon turn for the wood is cut out there. It's like rosewood. It's very hard. And here's this cut out there, these posts. And they notice these posts are in an oval shape. And they notice they've been burned off so that Chad understands from growing up there and knowing the culture and knowing that there was a building standing here one time. But he did not know what that building was. Had no idea what that building was. Asked around, no one knew. He knew it was not a house because they do not build oval houses. They build square houses. So he just kept going, kept working. And all of a sudden, older men, see Chad, he's been adopted by the tribe. He actually has a bush name, and he is in the line. Adopted into the bloodline, if you will, of the chief.
He's the chief son. So he can get around anywhere he wants to go. And they will fight for him and die for him. And if he tells them to do something, they do it. Because he's the chief son. Here he is. Working away, they're now starting to frame this building. And these older men are coming by, and in the dialect, the Wiyu tongue, they're saying, it'll never stand. Dad scratches his head. A couple days later, here goes a couple old men by again. He said, it'll never stand. Finally, he goes out and he stops him. He said, wait a minute. You keep telling me, and I keep hearing you, that this building will never stand. Are you questioning my ability to build this building? Oh, no, son. We would not do that. That is not why we said that. We know you're a good carpenter. We know who trained you. However, what you don't know is whose ground you're working on. So he said, well, explain. They said, did you not know that those little posts you tore out of the ground? Did you not know that they were the posts? And I'd say the pigeon, somebody get mad at me, because the pigeon word is not, it's not popular in English, amen. It's the source, it's the bottom, it's the stump of the post. When you tore all those out, did you not know that that was the Sanguma man's temple? The Sanguma man is the witch doctor.
Yeah. What?
And man, all these things started. When I told my daughters the story, man, that Tracy started weeping. She said, Daddy, remember all the troubles? Remember all? I've got a picture on my phone. I'll show it to you after church. I'm holding the first ever copy of the King James Bible in pigeon. And brother, does it preach, Brother Luke? This thing works. The president of Papua New Guinea when the first one comes off the press, the president of Papua New Guinea, at the same hour, gets off a plane, and he went over to England, and he had a copy of the 1611 King James Bible.
Amen.
He held it up, and he's on the front page of the Post Courier, the national newspaper, saying, this is now the Bible of Papua New Guinea.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That post that he's holding in his hand was in the altar, 5 feet from my front door. But God gave a man a dream to reach the nation from the backwoods.
Amen.
And that man wasn't able to stay there long enough to see it come to pass in his time. But God put another man in his place. And Brother Tim, that man is now distributing Bibles all over Papua New Guinea. The Word of God, the pure Word of God, as pure as they'll get it.
Amen.
Being sent from that very place. I'm here to tell you, young people, get yourself a dream.
Amen.
Get yourself a mark out there. Get a goal out there, man. Do something for God. Whatever. Let God put it in your heart to do something for Him that'll amount to something in eternity. You make all the money in the world, die lost, and go to hell. What good is it?
Yeah.
You make all the money and go to, amen, die saved, and go to heaven and not spend it right for God. What good is it? But you do the will of God and you serve God with your life and you give Him everything you got and you let Him put the dreams in your heart and the plans in your heart and the ideas in your heart and you just keep serving Him no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what the brethren throw at you, no matter what the world throws at you, bless God, you just keep serving God and you watch God fulfill that dream.
Yeah.
And then one day you'll get old friend. God just may let you go back.
Amen.
To some of those places you served Him.
Hallelujah.
Brother Bob, how many times have you gone back and seen you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I went back to New Guinea. And after 18 years, God finally let me go back to the place where we started. For 18 years, God would not let me go back there. I've been in country several times, but God would not let me go back there. And there's a reason for that. Culturally, there's a reason for that in those people's hearts.
They needed to see that it was them and God, not them, the missionary and God.
Amen.
They needed to see, Brother Joe, that they could do the work.
Yes, sir.
Right. With God.
Amen.
And I walked in on that, drove in, actually got out of the car. And one of my men that I trained had to walk 9 hours to get out of the bush. When I trained this preacher, Brother Bob, he told me he'll never make it. Okay. But I said, I got one thing to tell you. I didn't call him there. God called him there. And I can't change that. When I left New Guinea, he had won everybody in his village. What do you do when your whole town gets saved? Wouldn't it be something if all of that quick got saved? He had won everybody in his village. He started to feel bad because then he would go out to the marketplace. And he would preach in the open air markets. That was our street preaching. But he said he couldn't get anybody saved. And they started throwing rotten tomatoes at him. He was a lost Lutheran preacher who used to throw rotten tomatoes at our preachers. And now they're throwing them at him.
Amen.
When he told me that, I just smiled. I said, does that sound familiar?
Good.
And he just got this big grin. He said, yeah, Brooklyn, it does. God has a sense of humor, amen.
Yes, sir.
Won his whole village. He's sitting up out in front of the church. He's looking out over this valley. And there's another village, but it's like 2 hours away. Walking. And he's sitting there and he's crying before God. He said, God, you called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, God, you told us to get people saved. He said, I can't get nobody saved. They won't get saved in the market. I can't get them to come to church. My whole village is saved, God. What do I do? God said, I want you to move the church and the village and everything over there and start again. He went he was the third person in the village saved. The chief, Malu. And he said, amen, he's a good man in the church is saved. He goes, Malu, he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, but God wants us to move our village and the church and over there. Malu, an old man, grabbed him by the hand, Brother Dale, said, come on. They took off walking, Brother Joe. They walked 2 hours right there. Walked up into another village. They found the chief. Malu introduced himself. That's the customary way to do it. He introduced himself, told him who he was. He said, this is my pastor. He said, go ahead, pastor. You tell him. So the pastor tells the chief what God's told him to do. And that old man who's the chief of the other village, hey, you, come here. Guy walks over and he says, this is the pastor of the church. Told him what they were doing. He said, you got plenty of land out there, so give him a place to put his house. You got a place over there, give him a place to put his garden. I'm the chief. You're the chief. I'll give you another. I got plenty of ground, man. Here you go. Here's some place to put your house. Here's a place to put your garden. They put the whole village in that village. And until they got their gardens going over there, they had to walk back here to get it. Amen. But they planted and replanted and dug and ate. Amen. And replanted some more. And today in that village, it's called Poloco. Brother Amos Yoroka is building the third church building. He's done filled two of them, and he had to keep building bigger. Pretty good for somebody that wouldn't make it, huh?
Yeah.
Don't ever count God out. You know what Amos had all the way through Bible school? He was just so glad that God saved him. He was so thrilled to be serving God. Man, I could send Amos anywhere, and he never balked. I said, Amos, I need to go here and preach. Yes, sir, Brother Cliff. He was out the door before he even told him what I wanted. He was just excited to serve God. He had a vision, Brother Tim. He had a dream. He just wanted to see his people saved. And God is saving his people.
Praise the Lord.
Using him. And I could go on and tell you stories about him and things he's been through. But he's never lost sight of the dream. You know, they got cell phones now. Don't have electricity. But they got cell phones. In a jungle. Strangest thing I ever saw, man. Standing in the middle of nowhere, here's some guy going. No cell tower even. Can't even see the thing. There's some hit somewhere in the bush. Gotta be, because he's using it. Talk on a cell phone. I get these calls from New Guinea. They don't understand. They get what they call a two-kina card. Two-kina is about $1.10.
And they get this two key card and they punch the numbers into their phone and they think they're going to talk to me as long as you do somebody in the beginning. So I look at the phone ring from the 675 in the beginning. I know right away that's the beginning. And it's usually Brother Amos. And I hear this on the other end. Brother Cleve, Brother Amos, you stop all right? He said, Brother Cliff, this is Brother Amos. You okay? And about that time I hear, yeah, man, I'm doing fine. I hope you got that. The two keener ran out. And that happens quite frequently. But the problem is, see, if I call him and he hasn't put any time on his phone, that's all I get on that end too. So I call him and it's like, hey, Brother Amos, click. He knows my voice. He knows I've tried, amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? He's living the dream. He stayed faithful. He served God. And God fulfilled his dream. What's your dream tonight?
Yes, sir.
What's your desire? Oh, man, I'm going to make a lot of money. Good luck with that. You got a dream? You want to serve God? Would you like to make your life count for something real? I mean, I'm talking, would you like to make your life count for something that lasts for eternity?
Yes, sir.
Something, amen, that ages from now, billions of years from now, amen. Hey, nobody can take it away.
Amen.
Every once in a while, I get a little glimpse. I see myself walking out the front door of this mansion that I didn't build. And sunburning my tonsils, looking at the top of the roof, you know. And I start down the street, and here comes Amos. I start down the street, and here comes James. I start down the street, and here comes Tom Shonen, who died of a flesh-eating disease and won his mother's Christ on his deathbed. Start down the street, amen. What's your dream tonight?
Amen.
What are you living for? Oh, I'm young, I got my whole life. I'll wait till I get to be 40 and I'll serve God. You may not make it to 40.
That's right.
You go down here in the graveyard, it ain't very big, but I guarantee you there's somebody near your age. And if they ain't there, I can take you to another one where they are.
Sure.
I've done a few funerals where the box was about that long.
Yep.
What are you going to do with your life? Do you really want to see God do something? Would you like to see God fulfill a dream? I mean a real dream that's got some meat with it. A real dream that's got some purpose. And why don't you let him use you? Why don't you just serve him in spite of everything? In spite of what you've been told, in spite of what you've heard, in spite of what's going on in Christianity today. Listen, we were born for such a time as this.
Amen.
Say, brother, it's getting bad out there. It's only going to get worse. But you live your life for Jesus Christ. And you get those goals he sets in your heart, those dreams out there that he'd have for you to do in his service. And I guarantee you, your life will have the greatest purpose on earth. And you'll find more joy than you ever knew existed. What are your dreams tonight?
Yes, sir.
The preacher's all Greek to me, man. I'm not even saved. How about this dream? Frying in hell. Say, preacher, you trying to scare me? I would if I could, but God Almighty doesn't shake you to your foundation and show you you need to be saved. I can't do it. What you need is a good dose of what my cousin's got right now. Holy Ghost conviction. That'll work. That'll work. Maybe tonight, he's already starting to work on your heart. Whatever the need is tonight, why don't you just give it over to him? Let's pray. Father, God, thank you for Joseph. Thank you for the lessons, God, of seeing those dreams fulfilled. And seeing a man that served God.